session number 16576, Jim Miller, Reel 3.
Mr. Miller, Reel 3, we're looking at your training with Inkerman Squad at Fenham Barracks, and you said that you got used to drill. Did you have any trouble with the actual marching and, you know, the speed of the drill? Because you started off at light infantry pace, didn't you?
Yes, that was 140 paces to the minute. All light infantry are like that, 140 paces. And there was 5 light infantries, different, you know, the Cornwalls, the Coilies, the Oxford Books, Somerset Light Infantry, the King's Shropshire Light Infantry. They were the original light infantry. So John Moore, he was the man. He started the light infantry.
Did you find it tough walking at that pace? Because you're not a tall
man,
are you?
Yes, yes. Well, they were only short steps. They were short steps. We were all about the same size, anyway. You know, 5'4", 5'10". But... Now, a tall man, we had an officer, he must have been 6 foot. At the short paces we used to march, it must have been terrible for him. He had to take short steps.
So, the fast pace was worse for tall people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And when we were marching with other regiments, they used to march, say, the guards, I think it was 110, I think, 120. Well, if we were behind them marching, we'd have to mark time, because we were to catch up to them. And it was strange, you know. But anyway, all
did you have any problems with drill yourself? You know, just doing it all together? Because some people have trouble.
Not when you got used to it. It came automatically. When the rest of the other lads, all the lads were the same. I mean, standards and fixing bayonets and slope arms, shoulder arms and...
Did you understand why it was important?
Oh, yeah. Like, we were supposed to be what they call skirmishers. That was the idea of skirmishers, you know.
Why was drill important? Why did you have to do so much of it? Did you understand that? Or
that was what they call square bash. No, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we had to, all this drill, that was the drill.
What was it for?
Marching? Fighting?
I mean, what was the purpose of it? Do you know why you did so much of it?
I couldn't see. That's funny, that. Of course, all regiments are like that, all this drilling.
What about...
Discipline. It's just discipline. You had to do it. If you made a mistake, you do it again, do it again, do it again, until you were fed up. You know, we used to banner training, we used to go charging bags, you know, shouting like, you know, as though you're in action. That was all part of your life.
Look at bad training while you've mentioned it. So you'd charge bags. Did you do any of the bayonet fencing, you know?
Yeah. We used to charge these bags hanging up and shove your bayonet in, bring it out, you know, and bags on the floor, you had to stamp as well as somebody's sticky bayonet in them and put your foot on his chest and put... we were taught to kill...
Did you do any of the bayonet fencing, though, where you actually fight another man with a bayonet?
Oh, no.
We had
long sticks, and you had to hold it in 2 hands. And it was like fence with these sticks, you know, yeah. What else was there? But most of the drill was killing and...
What about learning to shoot? How did this sort of approach the Lee Enfield? How did this start you off?
Yeah, well, we went to Ponteland. That's up in Northumberland. To an area there where there were targets there.
Had they taught you to shoot before, in theory, before you went up?
Oh, yeah.
Well, can you take us through that first? How did this start you off?
Well, load your rifle, 5 clip. There was 5 rounds in a clip. Load your rifle. The shoulders out to take a sight, with the fore sight and the back sight, you know, and you show put the rifle on your shoulder properly and hold the rifle properly. And then you had to pull the bolt back, and they were all blanks. See, blank cartridges, and put around in the breech. Press the trigger, not snatch the trigger, slowly, and then to get on the target and shoot. But there was all that, you know.
And so then you went to Pontinland and you did it for the first time.
That's right, and we went on the range there.
And how did you manage?
That's when we first started to fire live ammunition. Well, some of the lads were on the ground. You had to lie flat on your belly, personally. Now I'm standing there, and when they fired the first shot, they seemed to go back about 3 feet. With you know, so I put some stockings in my shoulder. You know, stockings. Put it in my shoulder. Stockings. And then later on, when we joined the battalion...
Hang on, no,
sorry.
Don't run ahead. Did you find it a big kick the first time you fired it?
Oh, yeah, if you wasn't holding the rifle properly. You had to pull it into your shoulder. So you had 2 hands, you know, and you had to pull it into your shoulder and bang, you know, and we got used to it.
What were you like as a shot?
Well, it's all in my army records. First class marksman. I became a machine gunner.
What do you think made you a good shot? What qualities make a good shot? Why can some people...
Good eyes. No, I've got my eyes there. I can read the smallest print. Now, yeah, my mum and dad give me good eyes.
And that's the most important thing to be a good shot.
Yes, oh, yeah, you had to get on the target. You had to get the foresight right in the ring, the foresight, you know, in the rifle, there's a foresight that sticks up, you know. You got that little right in the centre. Now, some of the training we used to do would start at 500 yards. Right? And you're lying flat at the target. Then you keep advancing 100 yards. The last 200 yards, or was the last 100 yards, you had to put a gas mask on. We did kneeling, fire a shot kneeling, fire a shot standing up. That's the last shot. That we are. And with your gas mask on, the steam, you get glare, and you're puffing and blowing because some of them shots went, you know, went astray, like, you know. And that was good. We used to, when I was at Woking.
No, we'll come on to that. Did they do any speed training with you at Pontinland or
speed?
While you were in Inkerman, you know?
Yeah,
rounds per minute.
Let's go running.
No, rounds per minute.
Oh, yeah. That was all I'd done, yeah.
Was that regarded as important, the number of shots you could fire?
Well, 5 rounds, rapid fire. It was rapid. You know, start with blank slack. Oh, yes, it's...
Did they do any
room? You still had your rifle at the shoulder as well, you know. It's still there.
What about some of the rest of the training you did with Inkerman Squad? Did you go on route marches or runs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, route marches, my God, they used to kill me. You know, pack on your back full kit. Oh, yeah, well. And we used to march up hills. Especially at Pontell, there was a lot of hills there, though. Yeah, but you got used to it. Got used to marching. I'd march 3 mile, have a rest. 5 minutes. March. No, that came in handy when we were in France and Belgium, the marching. Because we marched 40 mile from the River Dyle.
Oh, obviously, go on to that.
No, but I mean, you know,
marching. It toughened you up then.
Oh, yeah.
Did the teacher...
There was PT as well. There was, PT instruction in the wall bars and the ropes, climbing ropes. Yeah, we had all that, jumping over the horses. If you couldn't get over, the PT instructors chucked you over.
Did it make you...
Boxing?
Did it fill you out? I'll come back to what... Did it fill you out? I mean, did you get stronger?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you mentioned boxing.
I had some good muscles.
What about boxing? Did you do much boxing?
Yeah. Now, that was another thing at the depots in them days. Even in your own squad, your weight, you had to meet somebody with the same weight as you, right? And box. Fight each other. It might be your best mate, you know. But you did. You have a scrap with them. I mean, if you hurt you, you're going to hit them back, you know. Oh, yeah, there was all that. Oh, I love it. I like boxing. Because there was a boxer called Jack Casey of Sunderland. Cast iron Casey. You might not have heard of him, have you? No. He was a newspaper lad. He's another one of my mates, and he became a champion boxer. He fought for the middleweight championship of Britain. Nell Dalton was the boxer. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's dead now. Cast iron Casey. And the stance he had, I used to do the same stance. Yeah, I love boxing. In fact, I was boxing for the company in India. I knocked a chap out for the first time in my life.
We'll come on to that. We are interested.
No.
Anything else about your training with Income and Squad? Any other weapons training? Were you introduced to any of the machine guns then, when you were at Fenham?
No.
None of them?
No, I don't think so, no. It was all rifle training.
Any other sorts of training you were on? Any tactical training or anything like that with them? Or did that wait to the battalion?
Map reading, something like that? No, that come under the education anyway, things like that, map reading.
Well, tell me about the education then, because, I mean, you were fairly bright.
I've still got my certificates upstairs, after all these years, first and second. I could have sat in my first certificate. If I'd passed me first, I would have done it, you know. If I'd passed me first, I could have gone to the rank of warrant officer, 1 and 2, you see. But you couldn't get that rank unless you had your first class certificate.
What were the certificates like? What sort
of? Well, then the second class certificate, when you passed that, you got 6 months a day extra. On top of your pay.
What did you have to do? What sort of exam was it?
Map reading, English. Geography. I've got. They're all on the. I should have brought them down anyway.
You didn't find it too difficult then?
No. As I say, there wasn't lots of chaps. You know, there were. Didn't have. That had to wait until I got down to the battalion. You see, to go for certificates.
But you did them at the depot.
I did them at the depot, and that 6 months a day. I wasn't paid then, but I had to wait until I went down to the first battalion before I got all these back sixpences. Funny that.
Did they teach you about the history of the regiment?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I forgot. Yeah, we had more battalions in the First World War than any other regiment. 35 battalions, I think it was. We had the bantams, little men. Oh, yeah.
Did they make you feel proud of your regiment's history?
Yeah, oh. Nothing like the Durhams, I mean, or the regiment. Anything said, right? Fisty cups. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you took a pride in being a Durham like them, Dima. It's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Well, that's even now at my age.
Now, just about the actual life you're leading, what was the food like, a friend of, for you?
Oh, it was rough. In them days, it was rough. Right.
What was wrong with it?
Well, there was spud bashing, what they called spud bashing. You were detailed for that. There was about four of us peeling spuds for all the recruits at the depot. Great big pile of spuds. Well, some of them only are peeled. And we used to get lumps of meat. We're in the bone, on the bone, and oh my God, how many cabbages were there? And on the morning, you had a pot of cocoa and a biscuit.
So it was pretty
sometimes,
rough.
Sometimes we've got kippers. I've got, Scotch kippers. But it was rough food. There was nothing dainty about it. All good porridge.
Did you get enough of everything? I mean,
Oh, there are. There's plenty of. Yeah.
Now, what about, did they have inspections of your barrack room and of your kit?
Yeah, wait a minute, I'll tell you about this as well. We had to lay a kit for the commanding officer of the depot. Captain Veer was his name. Oh, he's a lovely man. His name was spelled Weihe. It's more like a Dutch name. But you had to, Captain Veer. And we had to lay all our kit out on the beds. The beds were iron beds, and you had to push them out. You know, you slid them in. Oh, beds. They don't use them beds now. You put a blanket on your bed, grey blanket. Then you laid your kit on in order. Your armour cart was at the back, folded up 9 by 4, I think it was the measurements, your armour cart. And you put a board in there to keep it, you know, polish buttons, button stick and everything. And your boots, they were there. All you polished the studs on your boots underneath. Yeah, black and it was straight, you know. And your lace soles, they had to be polished. And everything was spick and span. Your knife, fork, spoon, button stick and leather, and your shaving gear, and everything, you know. All you had to put to the bed, and all your uniform, your equipment was all laid out. And your rifle, that was polished. Well, you had to polish that, you know, the bore. The rifle, God, and don't look at it. It was really tough, you know. And your boots, you had to polish them with spit and polish. That's why they were spit and polish. Your toe caps, like patent leather, you know. But on the boots, what they give you, they were thick of grease when you first joined up. You go, oh God, yeah, talk about life. Your putties, we wore putties in, and that'd be nine laps, right? In the finished ear with the lice.
On your calf?
No, up the top, just underneath your knee. And your trousers was folded over like that, the width of a cigarette packet. See? You know. Everything, you had to, I mean, it was very strict. Anyway, lay the kit, and Sergeant Flanagan come round first to see if everything was all right before the CO come in. And he looked at my kit, I remember this. Oh, yeah. Will you just take the two corners up by the window, like, you know, at your end. And he took the two bottom corners here, and he tipped the lot up. It wasn't quite right for him. Right? Chucked it on the floor. And I had to race and get it all done again. All the lads wanted me to, you know, things like that. Discipline. I couldn't see anything wrong with the kit I'd laid. I thought it was good. But, you know. And that was it. But while I was at the depot waiting to go and do an increment squad, I used to do a lot of jobs for this captain here. He had a house in Newcastle, and I used to do a lot of jobs for him, a little bit of garden.
What was he like? Cause he became a colonel, I think, later on.
Yeah, I believe he did. I didn't know much about him after. But he was a lovely man. Oh, and one day, I went to his house with there was some artillery at Fenham Barracks, and the Royal Northumberland Fusiliers were there as well. Actually, the Fenham Barracks was the Royal Northumberland Fusiliers Barracks. The Durhams didn't have a barracks. Eh? Like, you know, depot-like. And training, you would, if the Northumberlands were out and us were out, they were marching at their pace and we were marching at our pace. It was all right, you know, and the yelling and shouting, you might get out of step. But anyway, Captain Vier, I used to do a job for him, and coming back from his house, we took something of his house, something, I don't know, and these two lads on this limber, a team of horses, now we're riding there, they were riding back to the depot from his house. And the driver, he spotted a couple of wenches, girls, you know, on the side of the road, like, he took his eyes off what was in front, and there was a car immediately stopped in front of us, and the shaft went right through the back window of the car. Two old ladies were sitting in, that's what didn't kill them. All that loose. I had to go as a witness. But poor lads, I don't know what they got. Wanted 90 days or something. Clink on. Oh my God, funny things. Yes, I used to do a lot of work.
What about tidying up the actual barrack room? Because I believe they used to be very strict about that in the squads.
It had to be, they were scrubbed. We used to have scrubbing brushes. And, and then we had what they call a bumper. You polish the floor. I'll tell you something now. We went on a run to Jesmond Dean, PT kit. the squad, Judgment Day, it's in the UK, I don't know if you heard it. And we stopped for a rest. We'd gone the distance. And Charlie Potter, he was a mate of mine, he's on that port of Charlie. His dad had a pub in St. Arbor, Charlie Potter. He used to come to my mother's house, and we were good mates. Anyway, while we stopped there talking in PT kit shorts and that, Charlie seen two girls, which he knew. And he went over, and then he called me over, and we were talking to these two girls. Anyway, we were in trouble. We lined up again, because we used to march in fours in them days. We used to do a form fours and form to deep. You know, like, when we used number 1, 2, 3, 4, all the even numbers went behind the odd numbers, stepped back, like there. And we used to form fours. And the reason the marching threes now is on account of the traffic. See, performing them. But anyway, we were lined up again, and me and Charlie were in the back row of the four lane. And Major Flanagan, Sergeant Flanagan and Corporal Birds, they were behind us. And as we were trotting back to the deck, well, I heard Flanagan say to, I'll have them two buggered when we get back, you know. Oh dear, we're in trouble here. So here we got the deck warden at the barrack room. Corporal Birds coming in, he says, Sergeant Flanagan wants to see you two. Get in there, like. So I went in and he was sitting there, his face was red. Red with anger. You two, my legs are shaking then as well. You two ought to be ashamed of yourselves in PT kit talking to two girls. I mean, we've got a vest in it. Oh, dear me. So you, Miller, you can scrub the barrack floor with a toothbrush. Right? And you, Potter, can polish all the boots in the squad, the lads. All the boots, polish them. That was punishment. That's silly. The toothbrush. That was so that is.
Did you do it?
Yeah. Cold water as well. But, you know, it was silly. I mean, I couldn't go gripping back on it. After a while, that was it. That's enough. And they used to, if you scrub the barrack room floor, they'd get the heel of the boot, the sergeant, and scrape along the floor. You're filthy. You know, where he'd scraped it, the floor was nice. You know what I mean? Oh, they were, yeah. They were really tough.
And did they teach you to go on guard, you know, and the stick man and all that sort of thing? At Fenham, or did that come when you joined the battalion?
Well, I don't think so. Well, oh, yeah, there was a guard room there, yeah. Of course, they did do a bit of guard mounting. But funny enough, I never did it. I can't remember doing it. But there was a guard room there, yeah. Because if we got a weekend off, we used to go to the guard room to report before we went home, you know, for the weekend. And they were very strict again. You'd stand there and the sergeant would inspect you at the guard room. And say, no, go back to your barracks and get the belt cleaned up properly. Because we used to wear white belts in them days, you know. Blanco, white Blanco we used to put on. And there was a daylight badge in the front. You'd go back to the barrack room, don't do anything, and come back again, stand there, and he said, no, that's better, isn't it? I mean, we hadn't polished it. You understand what I mean? Tricks like that. And another funny thing, we were taught, when you see the Union Jack, you've got to salute it. So I'm walking down the barrack road, and I don't know what was on that day, but there was a lot of Union Jacks flying off the buildings. Being a young recruit, this was my first weekend at home. I was with Charlie Potter and all to it, and I was saluting all these flags. I don't know what the people that thought me, you know. And then when I got to Sunderland, it started to rain. And crossing the street in the what was the name of the street? Not Bridge Street. Fawcett Street. That was the street there. Crossing the street, there were blocks and it were wet, and I slipped. And I fell on my back. And the old lady come running and built me my feet. Because we used to have canes then. We used to walk with a cane, you know. And on the knob of the cane was your DLI badge. We, you know, that was to keep your hands out your pockets. You know, this cane. They don't know. All you have to do your cane drill. If you to salute an officer, and you have to pick your cane up and shove it under this arm here, you know.
Under your left arm.
That's right. And salute. And sometimes, if you couldn't salute, you just moved your head like that. Oh, left or right. See? Yeah. But that was the cane. I wish I had one of them canes. Oh, they were the good canes. And I slipped. When I got home, my mother had to wash. I was a right mess. I remember that. I was sweating, but nothing was said anyway. It must be all right. Oh, yeah.
Did they let you out in the evening at all when you were just cadets? Trainees?
No. We were allowed out. After six, I think. After six. Oh, yeah, we were allowed out. But you had to be back. You had to be back in the barracks by a certain time, else you were in charge, you see.
Did you drink? Would you go to pubs? Did you drink?
Well, I used to drink shandies. I wasn't a drinker. You go, you match, like, you know, and... some of the lads drunk. Oh, there's some of the right boozes among them. Knocked 2 or 3 pints back to them, if they had the money. Because it was only 40 shillings a week. And I was making my mother an allotment out of that. She was getting stored in my pay book. I've got my pay book over there. I've kept it all these years. All my wages is in. And my mother had nightmares a day from me. And that's another story about that money and the means test, you know.
What was that? Can you tell us?
Well, in those days, they're trying to start at these days. They find out how much you're worth. You know, like people living in council houses, you know, paying their rent and all that. Like, well, the means test was horrible. And my mother, she got nightmares a day, and all through my army service, right? For me 7 years, nightmares a day after me. So I didn't have much, did I? Out of 14 shilling. Because I had to buy me blanco and me polish and other things, you know, dentistry. And anyway, when I came home, in 1937, I went to my mother's house, and I was still in the army, you know, like you had six weeks, like, you know, before you left. And 2 days after I got home, the knock on the door, my mother came up to me and says, "Oh, Jimmy, the mains test man is here." And I says, "What's the mains test?" Anyway, the idea was to find out how much was coming at the house. So this tall fella come in, he was a bit of a posh lad, like. And I'm there, and he says, "I want to talk to you." Just like I'd have seen in the army, like. He says, "Are you stopping at your mother's?" This is only till I don't know how they got to know I was home. And he says, "How much are you paying your mother here?" I says, "Well, that's my business." He says, "How much money have you got in the Posby?" That was the post office savings bank. You know, like what the lads used to put threepence while we were abroad, like. I says, "Well, that's my business again." "Well, I want to know," he said. And he says, "And if I don't, if you don't tell me," he says, you're in trouble." I said, "I'm still in the army." I says, "If you want to know what I've got, write to my commanding officer, you know." Anyway, he went and, "You'll hear more about this." 3 days passed, and my mother was upset. Well, 3 days passed, and I got a letter to go in front of a committee, in Stonewall, like. And I went in front of the committee. Well, before I went in front of the committee, there was very old people sitting around in this room. Oh, they were poor. Anyway, this fella come out, and he says, "Miller." And I sat there. "Miller, is Miller here?" I still sat. "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Private James Miller, with the Dunmite Infantry, why?" "Eh?" "I was still in the army." Don't be so damned insulting, you know. Well, I went in front of this committee, and there was about six chaps sitting around the bench, and they were asking me all kinds of questions about my money, you know, what I had in that. And I told them, I says, "Get stuffed." And I come out. Well, that's when I left home, to come down here. Right? Because my mother, what had happened, all these payments I'd been making to my mother, she told the means test people that I was giving her this allowance. And they took it off the money she was getting. So all that money was lost. Understand what I mean? You see, if I hadn't made her the allowance, she would have gotten the same money, but they took this money off her. Oh, there were some horrible things in them days.
Why didn't you...